This is a big week for Powerball fans. So an exciting jackpot, $1.6 billion, largest jackpot in history. You know, we had people lining up to buy tickets. I saw a statistic, they were selling 131,000 tickets per minute, getting ready for this jackpot. So tens of millions of tickets sold. And after the jackpot had been announced, after the winning numbers, when people figured out where the winning tickets had been sold, even if they didn't win a ticket, they were going there to celebrate. You know, at a convenience store, people were taking selfies and partying, and the clerk became an instant celebrity. Now, I was waiting for them to enshrine some Powerballs in glass so they could fall down and worship in adoration of the mighty Powerball who gives us everything our hearts desire. So, I think this is a pretty good sign that our world is obsessed with wealth. We live in perhaps the materially wealthiest country in the history of the world, and it's not enough. We need more. We need more because greed consumes, and greed is not rational. I was looking at some statistics about people who won the lottery. People's rate of divorce quadrupled after they won the lottery. 65% of lottery winners are bankrupt within 15 years of winning the lottery. If you read the stories about people who win the jackpots, they say they lose all their friends because their lifestyle changes and their friends' lifestyles don't change with it. Higher rates of drug abuse, of depression, cases of suicide, either the winners or people within their families who commit suicide. You know, where do I sign up for this? You know, it sounds so great. You know, why are people so intent? Why are they lining up by the hundreds of thousands to buy these tickets to win a jackpot that more often than not destroys people's lives? You know, one researcher who is looking at the winners of the lotteries called them cursed because of what happens after they win the lottery. And people's odds of winning, 1 in 292 million. I'm guessing you're more likely to die in a car accident going to buy a ticket than you are to ever cash in a ticket. And it's irrational, and yet people seek after it because greed has no limits. Now, there's the old saying, money can't buy happiness, but how long are we going to live as if it does? And how long are we going to seek what is futile and what does not bring real happiness? So we have one type of payout with our jackpot, our Powerball, and we have another type of payout in our gospel today. And we have Christ turning water into choice wine. And not just a little bit of wine, but an abundance of wine. You know, he fills these six giant stone jars. That's probably like 150 gallons of choice wine. Now, I don't know how much wine they would drink at a party, but it sounds like a lot to me. The six stone jars were used for ceremonial washing. So in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic Law, they had a series of purifications that they had to do. And by filling these stone jars, the symbolism is they can no longer do these purifications. Christ is ending the old covenant, and he's bringing something new. He changes it into choice wine and in abundance. So the old covenant is over, and he's giving us this overflowing abundance of grace. And what this wine is, it's a sign ultimately of the banquet he's preparing for us in the glory of heaven. It's a beautiful banquet where we will be provided for in abundance in Christ's kingdom in eternity. Which is better? A Powerball that kicks out $1 billion, $1.6 billion, money that's finite and we can only use in this world, or the eternal banquet that Christ offers? So why are people lining up by the hundreds of thousands to buy all these tickets for the Powerball, yet we don't see them lining up by the hundreds of thousands to get into church? What's the difference? Well, I think the difference is the Powerball indulges our greed. People who win the Powerball can do whatever they want to do. They have money to satisfy their own desires. Christ doesn't work that way. He doesn't indulge our selfish desires. He promises to free us from our selfish desires. so that we can love and serve others and ultimately love and serve the Lord. So there's a difference between the payouts. One's finite, one's infinite. But one is focused on selfishness, the other opens us up to others. If we look at any sin, and I'm not saying that buying a Powerball ticket is inherently sinful, but the greed that people can experience that leads them to do that, greed is sinful. Greed is a disordered attachment to wealth. Now, in reality, we do need some money to survive in the world, so we are able to deal with wealth in an ordered fashion, where we work hard to provide for our own needs, for the needs of our family, for the needs of the church. That's perfectly acceptable to make an honest living and to work hard. But what greed is when that attachment becomes disordered and we seek it for our own selfish gain, or we have a desire to seek it that's above seeking other things. And I think we can see pretty clearly that our nation is consumed by greed. And what greed does, as with any sin, is it focuses us in on ourselves, and we begin to live in a smaller world. The more we begin to focus on money and what I can do with money and what this can buy me, we become blind to the greater world around us and to the needs of others, and we begin fixating on small, petty things, and our world becomes more and more isolated as we turn in on ourselves. And any sin will do that. If you look at an alcoholic, they become fixated on alcohol and they lose sight of everything else. In many cases, their families are destroyed while they just seek alcohol. And they focus on one small thing and the world becomes smaller and smaller and more selfish. Drug addiction does that. Addiction to lust. You know, any sin creates a smaller and a smaller self-enclosed world of darkness that ultimately leads us to eternal isolation, as we cut ourselves off from God and from everyone else around us. What Christ does is he desires to free us from that selfishness. He wants us to open up to the world around us, to die to our desires of self, to die to our greed and to our selfish desires, so that we can live for the Lord and for others. It opens us up to the world around us, to relationships of deeper love and charity with others and ultimately with the Lord. So when we serve the Lord, our world gets wider and wider, and we see more and more, and it's richer, and there's no limit to how wide it can become. So Christ provides us with this choice wine. Greed, or any sin, does the opposite. One of the things that we would notice, you know, and I think sometimes people will fantasize about winning the lottery. They'll think, well, what could I do if I won that money? You know, how many of us were thinking about that? Or sometimes people will try and rationalize. They'll say, well, you know, if I win the lottery, I'll give a little bit to charity. I'll give 10% to charity, but the rest will be mine. You know, that's a rationalization. That's a trick of the demonic to create an excuse in our minds for still being greedy. But we can soothe our conscience by saying, oh yeah, I'll give some to charity. But what we'll find is the moment thoughts like that begin to take root in our heart, instantly our desire for prayer is dead. You know, if we're thinking about money winning a jackpot, how many of us are going to be really excited about going and turning to prayer right afterwards? You know, the two are mutually exclusive. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and worldly wealth. So greed will kill any supernatural charity in our heart. It'll kill our desire for prayer. It'll kill our desire for grace, for scripture, for coming to Mass. You know, we'll see that really quickly. The moment we begin thinking about money in a disordered way, instantly our spiritual life gets zapped and it disappears. So we have two payouts that we can seek. We can seek the payout of worldly wealth, one that in most cases brings people destruction. It makes false promises. People seek after it, even though the vast majority of them will never attain it. It's a promise that never fulfills, and it creates a self-enclosed world that becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Or we can focus on the abundant wine that Christ offers us, the grace that frees us from selfishness and opens us up to relationships of love with others and ultimately to the eternal banquet in heaven. So which are we seeking? Are we seeking the Powerball payoff? Or are we seeking him who changed water into wine and who at this very Mass will change that wine into his own blood. One final thought, we have our rite of acceptance. So we have men and women and a few children who are coming, preparing to enter into the church. They've realized that there's something missing that they're seeking out. They give us a witness by the choice that they're making that the things of this world cannot bring us ultimate fulfillment. But ultimate fulfillment comes from Jesus Christ. And so be assured of our prayers as you embark in this journey, leaving behind the false promises of the world and seeking Him who provides for us in abundance.